Once again, welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History right here on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary. I have a very special guest with me on the line. Dr. Moya Bailey is an assistant professor in the Department of Cultures, Societies, and Global Studies and the program in Women's, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at Northeastern University. Her work focuses on Black women's use of digital media to promote social justice as acts of self-affirmation and health promotion. She is interested in how race, gender, and sexuality are presented in media and medicine. She curates the hashtag TransformDH Tumblr initiative in digital humanities. She is a monthly sustainer of the Allied Media Conference, through which she is able to bridge her passion for social justice and her work in digital humanities. Dr. Bailey, thank you for joining us on this episode of Reclaiming History.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
So, you know, you are a woman who is making a difference. You're making a splash all over the place. It is amazing the body of work that you've been able to generate in such a short period of time and how you really are changing the world that we live in. You know, I have all of these young feminists around me, and, you know, I'm kind of an old lady. So they keep telling me all about what's going on in the feminist perspective, in the feminist world. And I heard this word that it just caught my attention. Misogynoir?
Some people say it that way. I generally say misogynoir.
I'm not French. I'm Southern, but go ahead. Go ahead. Say it again.
I am Southern, too. Misogynoir. So misogynoir is a term I created which really tries to capture the racism, the anti-Black racism and sexism that Black women experience simultaneously. So some people might say, you know, it's the misogyny that Black women experience, or it's the racism Black women experience. And for me, neither one of those quite cut it, because for Black women, it's actually that unique combination, the way that anti-Black racism and sexism and misogyny come together to create a really unique way that we're portrayed. So one example that I might give of how that looks is, if you'll recall, when Barack Obama was elected, and there were all of these ways that right-wing media was talking about Michelle Obama, calling her an ape, right, you know, comparing her to an animal, and that has a lot to do with ideas about Black women as already being rather masculine, and also this long history of Black women as being animalistic. So that's one place where you see both of those things coming together. It wasn't just this idea about who she was as a woman, or just who she was as a Black woman or as a Black person. It was the combination of the two.
You know, that is hard to, like, wrap my mind around, this concept of Black women as animalistic. I mean, on some level, that just cuts to the core of who I am as a Black woman. I mean, that just hurts in every place that you can hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a long history of this, you know, going back to, you know, our forced departure from the African continent and then arrival in the Americas. There's this history that actually aids the narrative of why, you know, white supremacists wanted to make slavery work as a system. So if Black women are animals, then it doesn't matter if you have them working in the field right after they've had a child. Their children aren't human, their children are automatically, you know, born into slavery. All of these things help to perpetuate and enforce and maintain a system of slavery.
So how can we, as Black women, combat this? How can we push against this narrative? How can we change the narrative?
Well, one of the things I'm really interested in is the way Black women have been using media to challenge those representations. So I also kind of put this term together called digital alchemy. And that term, for me, describes the way that Black women in particular address some of these negative stereotypes that circulate in media and are using social media platforms to challenge that. So I think about some of the crowdsourced YouTube web series that people have created to really represent Black women the way that they want to be represented. And so one famous example of this would be Awkward Black Girl, which really helped to make Issa Rae a star. And now she has, you know, a show on a major network, HBO, Insecure. And so for me, I see one way that Black women are challenging these media representations is by creating their own media and creating what they actually want to see on television. Another example that I talk about a lot in my work is Janet Mock's hashtag Girls Like Us, which was created by and for trans women. And now Janet Mock has, you know, a huge deal with Netflix. Pose, along with Ryan Murphy, has been really lauded. So you can see how people have been, Black women have been able to leverage their use of social media platforms to kind of open the door and make space in more mainstream outlets for different kind of narratives and narratives that actually tell a fuller story about who Black women are.
Well, you know, I always think about some of the models from the 70s, and many of those models, some of the most famous models, were women of color.
You know, famous Black models like Beverly Johnson, Grace Jones, and Naomi Campbell, and Iman, an African woman who became a famous model.
And so I always wonder, how did we get from, you know, Nefertiti, the queen of Sheba, and even some say Helen of Troy, to go back to ancient days, and then take us through the 70s, where we had these strong, you know, black exploitation, granted, movies, you know, Cleopatra Jones and some of the other black exploitation movies, but at least there was a positive, strong image of the black female, to now this hatred of what is black and hatred of what is the black female. How did we get there? How did we make that transition? And I mean, slavery, yes, but it's been a while since slavery. And you know, and
it has.
What's hanging on in our culture?
Absolutely. I mean, I think media is just representative of what is happening in culture at large. So media really reflects back what is already in the cultural zeitgeist of the moment. And so for me, I think from slavery, we never really fully eradicated those ideas. They've morphed and they've shifted, and perhaps in some ways they have quieted down, but they've always been sort of bubbling or simmering. They've never actually been completely wiped out. So you can have a moment like the 70s where, you know, I'm black and I'm proud. All of this can be generated, but that isn't something that necessarily sticks. There's still a lot of ways that black women are being treated differently because of how they look and how they're represented in media, made up of different components. So I think about the freedom struggle, and I think about some of the early activism of black lawyers in terms of actually pushing some cases before the courts that made a conversation, pushed things to happen that otherwise wouldn't have happened. But then also the direct action of black people, all of that direct action that over time had this effect of shifting the narrative. And I tell my students that all the time. You know, it was in my parents' lifetime that I was able to become a professor and teach, you know, this class and this history to you. So right. That to me says something about the power of people to shift and push, even in the face of a government that does not want to relent and make changes. And also, the legislative piece is so important because it actually impacts what people are able to do and what people are able to create. So one of the things that I've done research on is cooperative living. And there are still some laws in some states on the books that say things like, you know, three women who are not related can't live in a house together, because that was considered a brothel. You know, if they weren't related, you couldn't have three women who weren't related living in a house together, because that was a way to kind of attack and keep women who were involved in sex work, or the idea that they might be involved with sex work, from being able to do that. But that law then prevents, you know, a group of young people who want to do a cooperative living situation. So All of this is connected. It's not going to be an easy thing to turn around. And we will have already, and I think we have in so many ways, already hit the iceberg.
I agree with you 100%. For my listeners, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to another segment of Reclaiming History with Dr. Moya Bailey. We are talking about
misogynoir, digital alchemy, and the interconnection with social media and social justice. Is there a way my listeners can connect with you and get involved in what you're doing?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Tumblr or on Twitter, actually, at MoyaZB on Twitter. That's M-O-Y-A, Z as in zebra, B as in Bailey. And then you can also find me on my personal website, MoyaBailey.com.
So I want to take a moment just to say thank you so much for joining us on another segment of Reclaiming History right here on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.